It's always a mix, and I think that's especially true for, for agents where you are your business in many cases, right? That there's a relationship business. So it's kind of a mix of your own story, your own perspectives, and those of the more business-oriented side of things, offering educational content and advice.
You are listening to And I Quote, a podcast focused on building relationships with insurance agents, brokers, their small business clients, and industry leaders. This podcast is presented by Coterie Insurance.
With your hosts, Brian Thomas, Director of Claims Experience, and Ann Boger, VP of Scaling, we will be exploring the power that connection, communication, and commitment can have on your business. Join us every Thursday for a new episode and topic that will provide key insights to help build your business, agency, and client relationships. And I quote. Hi, and welcome to the And I Quote podcast. I'm your host, Ann Boger, VP of Scaling, and today I have the pleasure of speaking with Melanie Diesel. Melanie is the co-founder and VP of Marketing at The Convoy, author of a best-selling marketing and business communications book. And she's an international keynote speaker, skilled virtual presenter, who is recognized as one of the world's leading experts in native advertising and branded content. Thanks so much for joining us today, Melanie.
Thanks for having me.
So tell me a little bit about The Convoy.
So The Convoy is, it's really fun to work at a company that is the good guys. And I feel like that's what we get to do at The Convoy. We are pooling the buying power of small and independently owned businesses to help them get bulk rates and group rates on business tools, business software, supplies for your business. So really helping to make sure you can kind of get the benefits of being part of a large chain, getting those efficiencies of scale while still getting to maintain the independence of your business.
What got you here to where you are today? Like, what's your story?
So yeah, my story is, it's got a lot of twists and turns, but I'll try to give the overview here, which is that I started out actually in journalism, and I always thought I would be a journalist, kind of telling other people's stories. That's always been my passion, is kind of storytelling and bringing those things to life. But I found very quickly, once I entered the working world, that there was a lot more need for those kinds of skills in the marketing side of things. And so I've been working in content marketing, branded content, whatever our word du jour is for that, for a good amount of time now. And, had been doing that for several years, speaking, wrote my book, really focused on just helping businesses learn how to tell their own story better, and tell the stories that are important to their audience. And, my husband is actually one of the co-founders of The Convoy. We'd had many, many conversations about this company and this vision at home. And so, as we were sort of assembling our A team, I made the choice to join on in.
That's wonderful. What advice would you give someone just starting out in their kind of content marketing journey?
There's a couple things that I think, I don't know, misconceptions that hopefully we can help folks avoid. I think a lot of people feel so much pressure to be absolutely everywhere that if you're going to, air quotes, do content, you've got to be posting on 12 different platforms 8 times a day, and you need to be, publishing a blog post every 15 minutes and putting out mini documentaries on YouTube in the same time. There's an incredible amount of pressure, and so I want to relieve you of that if you're listening and you're getting started. It is so much better for you to be amazing in one or two places than to be mediocre and or boring or whatever else in many more places. So find those places that you enjoy being, that your audience enjoys being. Create that kind of content for your audience. And then as you get better, you get more comfortable, you get more skilled or more resources, you can kind of, grow from there. But I would hate for someone to feel like they can't tell their story or they can't create any kind of content simply because they can't do every kind of content all at the same time,
Yeah, no, it does feel very daunting. I mean, when I think about having a content strategy, it almost makes me ask the question of like, who am I before I even get started? And then, oh, I have to be everything to everyone. Can you speak a little bit to that sort of question around your own message and your own identity in the stories you're telling?
it's always a mix. And I think that's especially true for, you know, for agents where you are your business in many cases, right? That there's a relationship business. So it's kind of a mix of your own story, your own perspectives, and those of the more business oriented side of things, offering educational content and advice. So it is kind of a line you have to figure out what's right for you. There are many people who are very open about their personal lives as part of their story, that they like to talk about their background, their beliefs, their hobbies, their family, their pets, their neighborhood, right? They're very open about those things. And others who are more reserved. I think how open you want to be is in many cases a personal choice. It has to do with your comfort levels, your safety concerns, right? I know many folks don't want to talk about maybe their family, their kids, their neighborhood for safety reasons, which makes total sense. But I think sharing some part of your personality is going to be important. So that could be things like your sense of humor, right? There's not a safety risk typically involved in that. It could be your hobbies, you know, things that you're interested in, or, you know, why you chose to pursue the career that you did. All of those things allow you to connect with your audience on a human level and build those connections that I think are important in every kind of business, but especially, you know, for agents, because it really is a relationship business. And so having people feel like they know you when they're reading your content or looking at your photos or scrolling through a video, you know, it's going to make a big difference in how connected they feel and how much trust you can build.
I like what you just said. I was speaking to an agent earlier today, actually, who does a fair amount of content. Content marketing and just content value he puts out there to educate people about how and when to use insurance as a tool. And he told me that he spent a good amount of time posting stuff up there with very few people looking at it. And he had to have faith that it was building into something. Do you have advice about that, those early stage sort of what to keep doing versus what to know? How do you know when it's a failure or when it's just too early?
That is a tough one. I will say that typically speaking, building a content practice or a series or just sort of a presence on a particular social platform is definitely more of a long-term strategy. And I know it's trite to say it's a marathon, not a sprint, but that's really the situation we're in here. I think in most things in life, hopefully we acknowledge that when we first start, we're not that great and it takes time to build up not only your own experience and confidence, but also the recognition from others that you're doing a good job in that thing. You know, you don't win a trophy the first day you start a new sport. So I think you need to give yourself that time. It's tough to say for any given platform or content piece what that time might be, but there's a safe bet that somewhere in the 3 to 6 month range is where you want to first start considering, you know, is this getting us the results or getting us closer to the results that we want? Anything shorter than that, and you might just be, you know, giving up too soon and not giving yourself a chance to fully bloom and grow into that space.
What are some of the early mistakes you made working on content strategies?
Oh man, so many, too many to count. you know, I think it was a different time. But you know, early on, we really focused a lot on just one type of content. So primarily at that point in time, it was written content. So we had, you know, content strategies that were just blogs and blogs and blogs and articles and blogs. And there was no sort of, it wasn't dynamic. There wasn't video or infographics or quizzes, you know, there was no life to it. It was just one dimensional.
Yeah.
And I think that's less of an issue now because all these platforms we use really do a good job of encouraging us to branch out and to share images and video. But very similarly, it's a common trap to fall into that you pick one that's like your favorite or you just enjoy the most. And next thing you know, you're all in and you're not diversifying, not finding other opportunities to connect with your audience. So that's a common one that I definitely have fallen victim to in the past is kind of going all in on one format and missing the opportunity for others. And let's see, the other one is, it's probably just being a little too idealistic, which, you know, if that's the worst thing in the world, I'll take it. But I think sometimes we start a new content project and we think we're sure this is going to be the one, right? The audience is going to love this. It's perfect. It's exciting. It's entertaining. You know, all the stars are aligned and you launch to crickets, right? And it doesn't have the impact you want.
So Coterie works with a lot of independent agents who work with small businesses, but manage a small business at the same time, which is their agency. Who would you suggest read your book? And what would they, you know, when's the moment to pick up the book and really read it? Like where, what is the audience thinking about when they're ready to read?
Yeah. So the book is really about how to come up with content ideas. So that can be useful at a few different points sort of in the journey. If you are just starting out, of course, it's a great place to start. You don't have any maybe content systems in place yet. And so learning a great way to generate those ideas could be super helpful. If you are feeling like you're stuck in a rut, like I feel like I'm posting the same stuff over and over again, or I never know what to do with the blog, or I'm running out of ideas for our video series, that's a good time to pick it up to kind of give you some new fresh ideas, a new perspective, and a new way to think about content as more of a renewable resource rather than something that you have to like search and you know look for really hard. And then a lot of times folks who are in transition, you know, whether that's a transition in your own life that you're maybe moving to a new place, building new clientele, maybe you've merged or created a partnership or rebranded or any other kind of sort of reinvention, that's often a really good time to reflect, to look at the stories and the content that you're putting out and make sure it aligns with this new version of you, this new version of your business or this big change. You should read the book if you're looking for some inspiration on how to come up with content ideas, any format, any platform, just a reliable process to tap into your creativity and come up with new ways to have interesting conversations with your audience.
Many people don't realize that insurance is actually a really creative industry because it sounds like such a dry subject, right? But it's actually all about people. And the businesses they run and the things that worry them or the things that their customers and their partners want to make sure are protected when they do business with each other. And one of the things that's come up as a theme, actually, in conversations on this podcast has been kind of everybody needs insurance, but you as an insurance agent don't need to please everyone. Instead, sort of find the people who you naturally serve or who are in your community that you can connect to and build content and a brand around yourself that can connect in that way. And I liked what you said about sort of tapping into your own creativity because it seems like that fits along with that overall theme of not trying to boil the whole ocean.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny, I feel like this analogy is applicable to so many parts of our lives, right? It's like do the one thing really well instead of doing everything. If given the choice between, you know, Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts coffee and gas station coffee, most of us choose the Starbucks or the Dunkin' Donuts because that's what they do. You know, we may not like it. We may not want to pay for it, but right. But that's their thing. They know how to make coffee. Whereas the gas station, like, their coffee making skills are not really top notch. You know, that's not their primary concern. You don't want to be the gas station for your audience, right? We don't want to be a person who's just doing too much, a little bit of everything and nothing super well. We want to be the steakhouse or the Starbucks or the one place our audience knows, man, when I really need this thing, I know who to go to. I know who I can count on.
When you joined your husband with the Convoy. Did you have expectations of what that was going to mean? And did they come out the way you thought?
You know, it's always exciting starting a new business. There's so much, at least for me, from like a creative standpoint, I am always on fire, right? There's so many cool ideas and things I want to try and we could do this and we can do that. But I think what I did get that I was really hoping for is kind of what I mentioned when we first started chatting, is that it feels really good to work for a brand that is helping people. I know I spent a lot of time in the marketing world and having not come from marketing, you know, I always had a bit of a different compass as to, you know, what feels right, because I wasn't coming from like a sales and marketing background. So it feels good to be creating content and connecting with an audience purely for the purpose of helping them rather than trying to like sell them something or, you know, and I think your agents probably feel very similar, right? Like we're trying to help, we're trying to help prevent a disaster or make sure you've got support when you need it. You know, it's important. We're doing something that's good. And so I think there's just like a good feeling that goes with that of knowing that you're actually helping your audience and your customers. That's pretty hard to beat.
Yeah, I do. I do feel all of the agents that I've spoken with have a very similar attitude in terms of wanting to really educate the small business owners in their community about how to grow their business effectively and how to use insurance as a way to do that, which some people think of insurance as almost just a piece of paper or you know, and just sort of a necessary thing, just like, you know, but actually a really engaged insurance agency helps you make strategic decisions about your business and helps you ask you questions about things you might not have thought about that help you be a stronger business owner in the end. And so that helpfulness, finding ways to bring that helpfulness out of you and into your content as a small business yourself and as an insurance agency feels like potentially a really, really powerful way to connect with an audience.
What kind of content should all agents be creating? I mean, I think it's educational content. We've hit on that a little bit, but just to be like really, really specific. One of the challenges you have in this space and in many spaces is that our audience often doesn't understand why they need what we offer. Like you said, they may think of it as just like a check the box, like I got my insurance, I'm good to go. And so being able to educate them about those things, the different advantages that you can offer, the ways you can offer strategic business advice, you know, showing other clients that you've worked with that have had successful experiences, all of that is going to really help your customers see the full, you know, the full depth through which they can rely on you and the depth of the relationship you can build with them. And I think too many of us overlook even like really basic content, you know, explaining what something is or misconceptions, because we think, well, everybody knows that, or they can just Google that. There's lots of stuff out there. Even if there is, wouldn't you much rather they find it from you than someone else? You know, I think that laying a strong foundation of basic and educational content is one of the best things any business owner can do, but certainly in a space like, you know, like for your agents where we're sometimes, you know, helping someone to buy something they've never bought before or helping someone to prepare for something they've never experienced before. There's definitely a knowledge gap that we can help fill with educational content that sets a really strong foundation.
Melanie, what do you actually mean when you say content? What is content marketing?
It's a big word, and it's used for lots of different things. But for our purposes, content is what you create that communicates to your audience. So again, I know that's big, but let's give some tangible examples. Things that you write. So that could be the copy on your website. It could be the captions on your social posts. It could be the emails that you send out or a blog post or a book. That includes video content that you create, you know, whether you're doing an interview or doing a live video, you know, showing off a place that you're visiting. It could be photos. It could be tools that you create, a calculator you made to help people understand something. But at the end of the day, if you are making something with the purpose of communicating to your audience, it probably falls into the content bucket.
How would you separate that from sort of brand marketing? Like I might have a name for my agency that I'm trying to get out there and I'm trying to put my name in as many places as possible. Where's that line between sort of just getting my name out there versus developing a content strategy?
This is a tough one, and it's tough for a few reasons, but I think for many, especially if we're sort of, we are of the brand, right? We have an agency, but it's us. There's a lot of fine lines there between what counts as what. at the end of the day, I think it has more to do with the purpose than necessarily the execution. Because you could write a blog post that's all about your company and, you know, the agents involved and, you know, when you were founded and where your office is. It could be very, very branded and purely for the purpose of advertising who you are and what you do. But you can also create a helpful blog post that is, you know, here's three common things you didn't know you needed to have coverage for. You know, that could be purely educational and really just you sharing expertise, the same execution, but with different purposes. So when you're creating your content strategy, it's important to ask those questions to understand, what is it that I'm trying to accomplish? What am I trying to make my audience see or understand or believe? What am I trying to help with? What am I trying to convey about who I am and what's important to me or my business? So if knowing that getting your brand out is one of those goals and knowing that educating your audience is one of those goals, there's a good chance you can do a little bit of both. But generally speaking, I mean, and there's always exceptions, especially in marketing.
Are there different ways of evaluating what success looks like?
Yeah, 100%. There are so many different ways to both, you know, decide success and then measure that success. So that's a good point too. As we were just talking about the questions that you want to ask, like, why am I doing this? Why are we creating this stuff? That's time for you to think about how you'll know if you've achieved it, right? And to set those KPIs for yourself, those key performance indicators. There's a couple buckets, broadly speaking. The biggest one is awareness. That's probably where that like brand building and getting your name out there. And in that case, you want to measure whatever the equivalence of people is, right? So that could be how many viewers on your video, how many listeners to your podcast, how many, you know, views of a web page, just the indicator that there are people here. And again, it varies by format, but something that indicates someone engaged, like saw this, right? They saw it or heard it or, I don't know, tasted it if you made brand cookies, whatever they did, right? And then the next level, like deeper, is engagement. And so that's not, I just want people to see this, but I want them to do something here, spend some time with it, or, you know, finish the video, or, you know, I don't know, like it, leave a comment, follow us, right? There's some sort of action that they're taking within the realm of the content that's indicating they're spending a significant amount of time and probably care about it a bit more. So mm-hmm. You'd want to look at those kinds of indicators, likes, comments, growing your following, you know, shares, things like that, that indicate, oh, I see value here and I'm spending extra time here. And then you'll have the more direct response stuff like we talked about before. That's going to be your more conversion focused content where the goal is for someone to schedule a call or subscribe to a newsletter or download the checklist, right? There's a specific action we're asking them to take beyond the content itself. That stuff tends to be most branded because, you know, we have to tell them what we're asking them to do and who we are that's asking. So that stuff tends to be most branded, but it shouldn't be the majority of your content. If the majority of your content is that conversion, you're asking your audience to do something, there's a chance that you may not have earned enough trust yet to ask that many things of them. So, you know, the awareness stuff, we help them find us and discover us. With the engagement stuff, we deepen that relationship. And that way, when it comes time to ask for a conversion, to ask them to schedule a call or sign up or whatever else, you know, we've sort of built that relationship enough to the point where hopefully they're going to actually follow through on that request.
Is there a magic balance between sort of the give and the take content?
In an ideal world, you want to have more content for them than for you. Because you want them to follow you, not you to follow you, or them to subscribe, not you to subscribe. So we need to be providing more than enough for them to have a reason to stick around or engage with us. A lot of folks go 70-30, 70% for them, 30% for me. Some do 80-20. There's probably folks who swing even further in either direction, but that's generally where I want to try to be, is like more than half is for them. I think is a good place to be. But I also think you should take cues from your audience on that. If you are posting, maybe you're doing 70-30 and you're finding still you're not getting those conversions. People aren't subscribing to the newsletter or following or scheduling a call or whatever else, then maybe you need to spend more time doing some of the other stuff and deepen that relationship first.
you know, you'll also probably get pretty immediate negative feedback if a lot of folks are unsubscribing from your email list or something like that. You want to make those changes quicker, not wait 3 months. Sure.
Well, and the other thing, it's really easy to get discouraged when that happens, when you get unsubscribes or unfollows or, you know, a post doesn't do well. I try to remember, and it's tough, but I try to remember that all that feedback is valuable. Even if it's negative, all of that is helping you get closer to what it is you should be sharing, what it is you should be writing, filming, taking photos of, creating, designing, whatever it is. All that feedback is helpful. Even if it's not the outcome you wanted, that's still valuable and still helpful in getting you closer to the outcome you wanted. So especially early on, if you're just starting out or you're trying something new, that's going to happen. You're going to have posts that get no engagement. You're going to have things that nobody reads or nobody watches. It's just part of that growing process. So try not to get too discouraged.
Yeah, that's good advice. You also don't know when something might become relevant or come back around.
That's right. When I was working at Time Incorporated, they own several recipe magazines, including My Recipes. And, you know, we had a situation where we had a recipe for, like, I don't know, red velvet cupcakes or, you know, something just kind of run of the mill that you wouldn't think there's a ton of demand for, just that basic level content, right? And then I don't know which Kardashian, but some Kardashian said something about red velvet. I am not kidding you. Like, we saw an immediate spike in this. Like, people were looking for red velvet recipes because it was, I don't know, we got the Kardashian power. So I don't think all of us will be so lucky to get like a Kardashian related spike in our traffic, but you do.
Yeah, no, I love that too. I almost want to sit on this analogy for a minute of the recipes, because it may be hard if you're thinking about building content related to an insurance practice early on. Like, what do I do that's even interesting, right? So taking a minute to think about what a business owner is worried about or what questions a business owner has, and then try to answer a bunch of those questions, just like you have a range of different cupcake recipes sort of sitting on the shelf. But then sometimes we need waffles, so sometimes it needs breakfast, so let's add some breakfast recipes. And then you'll start to see, you know, what your audience is, if you'll pardon this, but are hungry for. And then, and then you'll start to see, ooh, took that one a little too far, that analogy. But in essence, you want to have a menu of options available to people over a period of time, and then see where the traction is happening, where the people have interest in. And also potentially, what conversations are you having with actual clients, and how can you turn that into content for other people that are like those clients?
Yes. Oh, that's my favorite. I always say that we're making content all the time, and we probably just don't know it. We haven't thought about it in that way. I always say a lot of the emails that you write, if it's longer than a paragraph, it might be worth content. Now, some of that might be internal documentation, right? You're explaining how to do a process. Maybe you need some internal content for that, so you don't have to explain it each time. But a lot of it could be external. If you're talking to a customer and they've got questions, you're talking to a client and they're wanting clarification, they're probably not the only one with that question or confused about that topic or worried about that thing. So, anytime you're writing a long email or fielding a phone call is, you know, can I generalize this? Is there a chance other people are wondering this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. Thank you so much, Melanie, for taking some of your time today to talk to me and all our listeners. I really, really appreciate it. And I encourage everybody to take a look at your book, The Content Fuel Framework. Absolutely a pleasure to have you. Thanks again.
Thanks for letting me share my story.
Thanks for joining us today and listening to And I Quote, a podcast created by Coterie Insurance for insurance agents, brokers, and small business owners just like yourself. And I Quote focuses on how building relationships, networking, and community involvement can grow your business. Coterie Insurance is simplifying small business insurance for agents, brokers, and our partners. New to our website is the Find an Agent tab. This tab leads to local pages that help small business owners find agents in their area. If you're interested in getting your own page, click the link in our show notes. Thanks again for listening, and don't forget to subscribe. We'll see you next week.